of the crop.
Shit club, no stadium. Shit club, no stadium. Shit club, no stadium. Shit club, no stadium. You'll always be shit, Tottenham Hotspur. You'll always be shit.
Welcome to the 169th edition of the Gooner Podcast. This is your host, Kevin Witcher, and we are recording this on the Tuesday evening after Arsenal's home win against Huddersfield, 2 evenings before the team faced Karabag in their final group match of the Europa League. Before I continue, just to explain that there was no podcast in November because we could not raise enough individuals from our pool of regular and sometime panellists to record the podcast.
I was available.
We did consider inviting guests on Twitter, but in the end, yours truly was simply grateful to use the extra time allowed by postponing it on other matters. On to some very brief panel intros this month, with my thanks that you could all make it. First up, currently treading the boards with his new band Ridiculous, and he might want to plug his next gig, which I believe is imminent. Drinking alcohol-free beer, it's the one and only Mr. Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein.
Hello!
And you're not going to plug your show?
I'll plug my show 15th of December, this Saturday. Well, actually, will this go out in time? Yes, just about.
It will.
Yes, this Saturday, and there is a Tottenham Hotspur player on supporter on drums, John Moss, formerly of Culture Club, and also Aaron Baron Cohen, the brother of Sacha Baron Cohen, on keyboard. So all-star cast at Pentameters in Hampstead. It's only a tenner, which in footballing terms is pretty, you know...
Sounds like a super group.
A super group. 8 p.m. the 15th of December, Pentameters Theatre.
Who was it? Blind Faith, Mark II. Yeah. Right, next, I'm nursing a bottle of red wine. And as I sit next to this individual at home matches, enjoying the season somewhat more than last, it's the man behind the Highbury Spy column, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Shit club, no fans.
And to finish, an occasional but always welcome guest. He hasn't paid to watch Arsenal for over 40 years.
Ooh.
Although in that time he's witnessed hundreds of their matches. That's because he is the man behind the offside photo agency with almost 10,000 Instagram followers, I believe, and an award-winning photographer drinking aloe vera juice this evening. He's not turned green yet. Welcome, Mr. Mark Leach.
Good evening.
Rightio. So, as we've had 2 months' worth since our last podcast, one thing which has not changed since our last recording is that Arsenal remain undefeated in all competitions.
We
last recorded after they'd just beaten Fulham 5-1 at Craven Cottage. Now, significantly, since the defeat at Chelsea in the second match of the season, Arsenal have not lost in 9 away matches in the Premier League and Europe. And it was away from home where last season things weren't so great. So, is it new players, a new mental toughness, or new tactics that are responsible for this change? Any thoughts?
It's a mixture of all three, I would say. Particularly the manager, and that's the catalyst for our improved form and the better results we're getting. But alongside that, it's new players. Torreira, Guendouzi have been magnificent. The tactics have been great. I mean, when was the last time we saw 2 substitutions at half time in consecutive weeks under the previous manager?
Never.
Everything is better this season. I can't tell you how much better everything is. And the great thing is, as well, is that the Arsenal fans now do appear to be united. There's no factions anymore. Everyone, whether or not they were AKB or they wanted Wenger out, they're all united behind Emery. And I think that's great, brilliant, fantastic.
Mark, does it feel any different to you from where you actually... I mean, because you can hear the players talking.
Well, if I just go back, the last game I was at was the Tottenham game, and, well, I've sat at matches, probably not the North London Derby, but I've sat at matches, and there seems to be some kind of ventilation system behind the players' tunnel there, and you can hear that in some matches, just whirring away. That's how depressing it is. And as you say, people don't want to go because of the aggro between each other in the home support, but... The match on the other Sunday against Spurs, I spent a lot of it when the players at the other end photographing the fans, because I've not seen anything like it. You don't usually turn around and go, wow, look at these Arsenal fans. They were either cheering like mad or they were just hanging on looking tense. They were standing, no stewards telling them to sit down. It looked like a proper football ground, and I mean, there are people who still... Too soon for me to think, oh, you know, Wenger did well. I thought after that game, Arsene Wenger's definitely left the building. This place feels so different.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the nearly 12 months before, we beat them 2-0 in the league, but that was a one-off. And I've tried to work a few less Sundays, and my boys got into Arsenal now. And from January, from the Forest Cup defeat, how many Sunday dinners were ruined? My wife saying, well, why do you watch it then? Because me and him were just in foul moods all Sunday afternoon. And just this year, as you say, the away game's even working.
Mm-hmm. Been fantastic. Bit worried about Sunday, though, without any centre-half.
Well, we'll get on to Southampton soon enough, I'm sure. I mean, obviously the atmosphere at the Spurs game was notched up a ratch or two. Do you think that's a one-off, or do you think that's the shape of things to come?
Well, as Steve said, you know, the fact that Emery is prepared to make substitutions when required, and you know, it's odd that we've had so many games where we've been pretty poor in the first half, but he does something. Whereas if that had been, I've told myself time and time again over these games, you know, if Wenger was in charge, we wouldn't have won that game, or we wouldn't have got the point that we did when we drew. And you know, he's just galvanising the team, and he's galvanising the atmosphere. You know, you just asked about the atmosphere. Him running up and down the touchline, punching the air, shapes, and
yeah.
It's like a 12th player.
Did we ever see an Arsenal manager G'ing the crowd up?
I know.
And his hands
really
like, come on,
getting
sit up,
into it. You know, he's like a fan.
Was he actually G'ing up the crowd?
Yeah, totally.
He's too focused on the game.
And it's not just goals making the crowd wake up, it's winning tackles.
Yes.
There are a few that Torreira won about four in one period of play against Dele Alli somehow. Four tackles. That sets the crowd up. It's not just 30-yard goals. They're just there, and they do know what's going on. And somebody getting stuck in and winning the ball in midfield that's wonderful.
Well, he's almost like Simeone in the sense that, you know, we remember we were talking about, oh, well, I wish we could have Simeone or someone like that.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, you know, in his interviews, you can't understand a word he's saying. But it doesn't matter, because he's got a magic hat, as far as I'm concerned. Just for now, just getting... And look, who'd have thought we're level points with Chelsea? You know, we went third for a couple of hours the other day. You know, and... We'd have settled for that at the beginning of the season, wouldn't we? And beating Tottenham and drawing at Man U. I'd have settled for the 4 points out of those two games.
Well, we 8 points off the top at this stage of the season.
Well, exactly. We're actually still in touching. Well,
you're actually looking at the top. Yeah. You're actually looking up how far we are from the top.
Yeah, that's already...
But what you say about Emery, I'm going to regret it when he speaks perfect English. I like his... Peter Butterworth from Carry On Abroad, hotel manager English. I'm loving that.
Oh, I love it. I don't care.
Do you think, because we may love it, I don't know, but he won't answer a question. He has his answer, and it doesn't matter what the question is, he will give his answer. Do you think that's deliberate, or he just... He's not understanding, so he's going to say, this is what I've got.
No, that's what you do when you've got poor English and you're on live television. I mean, I was once on a German TV show, right, and I was a guest on a thing, and my German wasn't really good enough, and they refused to... I asked them, can you ask me in English and then translate it? And this woman was like, that's not how we do it here. So, and you're put in a corner where they ask you something, you don't understand it. You've got to come out with something, and his English just isn't good enough yet, you know.
It's funny, though.
He's watching Peaky Blinders, apparently, to better his English, which I don't know if that's the best choice.
I don't know. It's funny, though, because he does use big words. I think I heard him say... reconcile and pessimist the other day.
His vocabulary is expanding.
So but Latin words, though, they're sometimes the easiest ones to translate.
But I know this. Yeah. Saying something in a language which you've learned is different from understanding someone else asking a question in a language.
Yeah.
I must admit, it would be nice to see him have a little laugh and a joke in a press conference. But I think that'll come.
Well, Wenger was charming. You know, Wenger was a charming... He was good with the press, and he knew how to handle it. He was intelligent, he was clever, and he... Emery's probably very intelligent and clever, but he's got a good footballing mind, obviously. He knows what he's doing, because just the results and the way he's G'd everyone up, you know, he's exactly what we need. I mean, we're just... I'm in heaven about it.
I am as well.
Yeah.
No, I don't want the media-friendly guy. I just think it's a contractual obligation you have to speak to him. He looks like just... You know, he's probably... making out his English is worse than his. Get this over with. I want to be with my players. I don't really want to talk to you, but it comes to the job, fine. And if that's how he rolls, that's I've got no problem with that.
He does look a bit like Rigsby sometimes.
Lots of people say that.
He's got a bit of Leonard Rossiter about him.
Well, the Spurs fans
again, not
Spurs
bad
fans call him Rigsby.
Do they?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bastards. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, we can make that joke. They
I can call him Rigsby, you can't.
Yeah. That's
Rigsby. So, obviously, before the Spurs derby came the news that Mesut Ozil had a back spasm. Or a backache, according to Emery in the post-match press conference. Do we buy that, first of all? I mean, you know, people do get injuries.
He's always having a back injury, though, isn't he?
Sometimes he's ill.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something about it was in his contract with Wenger that he was allowed to have a little winter break or something?
Well, he was always seemed to miss a game around December.
Yeah, it gets a bit cold and he doesn't fancy it. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. And possibly the reason we're doing so well in these away games is that Ozil hasn't played in hardly any of them.
Well, I mean, the next question is, can he be part of an Unai Emery team?
Oh, God. I think
Would Emery build a team around a flair player who perhaps is not willing to do the dirty work?
Probably not.
I was watching the, you know, often going to say, got my eyes through a telephoto lens quite often, a narrow window, but you kind of just step out there for a second, refresh yourself, hope nothing happens. Spurs had the ball going away from me, centre, and I saw, I can't pronounce the name, Aubameyang, and he just suddenly started sprinting. I thought, what's happened? And he just decided to run 40 metres to close down Eric Dier and send him back towards Lloris. I'm thinking, off that left flank where Ozil would have been.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, why do I remember that from that whole day? But I'm thinking, that's what we're getting. Who would Ozil replace out of that side? And you wouldn't have got that. You wouldn't have got that.
Well, the other thing
might
is,
get some end products out,
if you're paying five at the back, you're immediately taking away an attacking player.
Mm.
So there's an argument to say that if you're doing that, you know, in theory, you've got one less guy to press up front. Who are you going to sacrifice?
Well, I'd sacrifice Iwobi because he's end product.
So you would put Ozil in front of Iwobi?
Not every match, but in the matches like Saturday against Huddersfield, when we were crying out for a bit of creativity, and all the good points we mentioned earlier, We do suffer from a little bit of creativity lack when Ozil doesn't play, especially when
Didn't we create a lot of chances?
Not really.
Spurs?
We did, but they weren't parking the bus.
Iwobi was taken off, wasn't
he?
It wasn't quite working with Iwobi. He was sort of being found out, wasn't he? So, and that's the difference. See, Emery saw that, said, right, I'm changing it. Wenger would have gone another 20 minutes and Tottenham would have gone 3-1 up, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Absolutely. But Iwobi's end product is just not good enough. He's the first player that's got to be replaced in the January window.
Wow.
And whether that's with someone else or whether Ozil comes back in the team, but he loses the ball, and we can see Goldschmidt when he does, and the end product is just not
there. There is a perception that his game has improved.
Probably has.
You know, the Bournemouth game, I was watching my boy on TV, and they're saying, hang on, Arsenal are going to go in 1-0 up, we're going to be leading at half time. And I said, unless Iwobi gives the ball away now in their penalty area, in Bournemouth's penalty area. Bang, bang, bang. 1-1. And I didn't even get annoyed. I thought, I know where I am. It's us drawing or losing.
So do you think maybe Iwobi has been too influenced by his years under Wenger and his careless imposition?
Possibly. I was screaming at him on Saturday in injury time. Mm. We were 1-0, 7 minutes of injury time. Mm. We're on a break. They've got a lot of players up front, and he tries his fancy footwork, loses possession. They pump a long ball up front and put us under pressure. Mm. I was screaming at him. You know, that's not the first time either.
Well, Iwobi has really good games, and sometimes it's like you love him, but sometimes he's got this thing where I've got the ball, you know, and he's thinking and hesitating, and he's not just going right, 5 feet, boom, boom, boom. You know, a good player will just instinctively do the right thing straight away, and I think he is a good player, but he needs to be coached.
Basically, the Premier League, the intensity of it. If a player gets on that ball and he's still on it and he hasn't advanced in 5 seconds, it's too long.
Yeah.
It's too long.
It's already too late. As soon as you're thinking about it, it's too late.
All right. Well, let's go back to the Ozil dilemma. Mm. Now, let's just picture this scenario. Ozil becomes a second stringer. He's on the bench for Premier League games. He's playing in the cup games. He's got his pride. Okay, but he doesn't have to play first team football for his international career. And he's on pretty good money. Whether he spends it on laughing gas or whatever else, we don't know. But, you know, he's certainly comfortable.
Allegedly.
Well, it was in The Sun. And there was a picture. The rest of the papers ran with it.
There was a picture.
I think.
Is he married? Is he married, Kev?
I believe he may have some romantic interest, whether or not
interest
it's committed.
Or interests.
I don't know. So, anyway, my question to you is this: do we think his pride will allow him to be a reserve for the next 2.5 seasons?
No, of course not.
Right. No.
No, I mean, he considers himself a world-class player, which he is when he's turning it on. But unfortunately, he tends to be a passenger quite often. And, you know, even someone like Dennis Bergkamp wasn't famed for his heading ability or stuff, but he did get stuck in. And he did have that, you know, he'd held himself. He knew how to handle himself. Do you know what I mean?
Too right. He left the foot in on a number of occasions.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of players would turn around and say he's one of the nastiest players to play.
Yeah, he was niggly. You know, he got an elbow in. He just, you know, he did what it took.
There's no comparison. But
no.
You're saying, will Ozil's pride allow him? Ozil's pride won't allow him to be sub at the moment. So how are you getting to play in the League Cup? I mean, big game, home to Spurs.
Well, he's contractually obliged to.
Yeah.
It's whether or not he will perform when he does. So if he doesn't play, if he refuses to play, he'll get fined, he won't get his wages.
And Emery will drop him like a stone. Emery's already proven that he's not carrying passengers here. And he's not afraid to say, like, everyone to Emery is on a level pegging, and there's no superstars, you know, and there's no sucking up to them.
Well,
you can see that.
Ozil was on the bench against Bournemouth. Okay, our next game was away in Ukraine. I expected that the starting 11 in Ukraine would not feature anyone who was going to play in the North London Derby, and I didn't think it'd be anybody who played against Bournemouth. I was wrong.
Holding played.
Ramsey was sub, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ramsey.
He was
Ramsey,
sub.
Ramsey
started.
Ramsey started.
I was shame about Holding getting injured.
But I mean, the long and short of it is, I have a theory that Ozil was supposed to travel to Kiev, pulled this back spasm story, declared himself fit for the derby, and Emery said, no, you don't choose your games.
Rightly so.
But it's just a theory.
But what I was thinking was the Leicester game. He had a blinder. He scored that goal just before half time, and then ran the show in the second half, which just came out of nowhere. That performance. And they interviewed Schmeichel after the game, and they said, "Well, you know, it was a great display from Ozil." And he just turned out, if you're going to give him that much room, and he wasn't even saying, "Yeah, he's a great player. What can we do?" He was just saying somebody didn't pick him up. And maybe that's right, because I watched Leicester defensive against Spurs. They were wide open. They do let you play Leicester. They're missing players. But that Ozil performance, maybe you think, well, a team like, as you say, though, the Huddersfield game would have been perfect for him, you'd have thought.
The thing with Ozil is, I mean, he's a bit of a luxury player, isn't he? I mean, he's, you know, against something like Huddersfield, exactly.
Yeah.
He'll outshine people, and if people don't get stuck into him and give him a hard time. So there is a lightweight side to him, and there is a kind of, you know, he's a sort of delicate artist, isn't he? Do we want that? Does Emery want that in his side? And I think Emery will say, look, if you want to play for this side, you've got to earn your place. I don't care if you're Mesut Ozil. You know, everyone's got to earn their place. So you're playing against Karabag or whatever. Prove to me that you're
very interesting to see who does play.
Well, Wolves was the same. We couldn't break them down either, could we? Just could not break Wolves down.
I mean, what sort of team do we think? I mean, there's talk about Koscielny playing. I mean, obviously, the Karabag game, I mean, the only thing to lose is our unbeaten run in that respect.
I don't want to lose that, then.
Well, I don't know how obsessed Emery is about it, because he might just consider it an opportunity, especially as we've got Spurs in the League Cup the following midweek.
I would.
How many kids do you think we're going
to play? All of them. I'd play all kids and Koscielny.
Right. So basically, Koscielny. Basically, the team that went to Portsmouth. The night before we were at Man U. And played the under-21 game.
I'd play the team that played at Vorska, the previous game in Ukraine.
Vorskla.
I played the
team. But that did have quite a few senior squad players.
Had Ramsey in it and Holding in it and a few other squad players. But we were picking a team in the pub after the game on Saturday. Right. And you can quite easily pick an 11 against Karabag that aren't going to play on Saturday or Sunday without risking the unbeaten run, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean,
what I do like, I think we've got, it could be Lichtsteiner, Monreal,
Elneny,
and Koscielny might have to come back playing that back three. Yeah. But it's not a back three you think they're going to get rolled over. Lichtsteiner's not going to get knocked around and rolled over. He's going to be.
I suppose it would be a good run out for that back three ahead of Southampton, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, give them a dry run, if you like.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably be needed against Southampton.
Yeah, Jenkinson might play.
Yeah. True.
Good old Jenkins. I'd have thought we'd see him again in the
office. So it'll be a mix and match.
Yeah,
seconds trigger.
I saw a lot of call today from a friend who said, do you want to come to Karabag? I've got a spare ticket. And I thought he was talking about some sort of pantomime or something.
Yeah.
So I had to double take. And I thought, Karabag, what's Karabag?
We used to take the mick out of Spurs for playing Karabag.
I know, and now we're on Thursday night.
Boot is on the other
foot. Well, the result goes wrong for them tonight. Yes. They'll be joining us.
By the time you're listening to this, we'll know whether or not they are a potential Europa League
opponent. And Liverpool.
And it could be a very tasty.
Kicked off yet?
Tasty knockout phase.
Neither have we kicked off yet.
In the Europa League. Okay. Well, let's go to some.
Before we leave Ozil, though, do you think we should sell him in January if we could?
And in my opinion,
I'm
the host. I don't have an opinion.
Yes, you do, Ken. You are Gooner. Come on. Yeah, the editor of the Gooner doesn't have an opinion.
If we did sell him, would you take the most minimal amount of money just to get him off the books?
I believe what will happen is that Arsenal will do a deal, probably a loan deal. I think that's the only way it'll work.
Yeah.
No one else is going to pay the money that he's reputedly worth. Arsenal will establish a loan deal whereby they will cover maybe 40 to 50% of his wages.
Yeah. What, we're actually going to pay his wages to go and play for
someone
else?
Done it. Yeah. We've done it before with other players. It's not unusual. It's basically a way of at least compensating the fact that you're not going to use them.
Right, we're definitely not going to use. Well,
I don't think we can say that. But my own view for what it's worth is what I'm seeing from Emery's teams. There isn't room for that kind of player, and so in the long term, I just think it's a waste of resources.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And it mystifies me because in January, Ozil was given this deal. Now, by that time, they'd already got Sven Mislintat in, and they were waiting for Raul Sanley to begin. He began on 1st of February. I'm assuming that by this time, the decision-making about contracts was out of Arsene's hands.
Yeah.
Someone made the decision, knowing that quite possibly Arsene wasn't going to be there at the end of the season, that Ozil was...
Mm.
And they gave him a 3.5-year deal. And the only person I could think would have done that was Ivan Gazidis.
Yeah.
And I just think he's left us with a bit of a legacy.
You couldn't afford to lose him and Sanchez.
Well, financially, yes.
Yeah, but the fans wouldn't have had that. The fans wouldn't have sucked up to losing Sanchez.
Yeah, you ask them now, they can't wait to get rid of Ozil.
No, but it was a little bit different last January.
Mm.
I think, by and large, the fans were pretty happy that he signed that deal.
Really?
Yeah, but they're not now, but they were then.
Mm.
I'd still like that. The thing with Ozil is when he's good, he's really good. Unfortunately, he just has this tendency to disappear.
Exactly.
Yeah, and something that he won't fought battle back. He won't. I remember players like Ray Parlour. They'd make mistakes, but they'd always battle back and try and make good. Well, Ozil won't do that. He's too much of a superstar.
We battled brilliantly at Old Trafford, didn't we?
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah.
Battled brilliantly up there.
Do you feel that actually that was 2 points lost?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Yeah,
and I also reckon as well, if Holding hadn't been injured, we wouldn't have drawn the game. I think he would have done better with their equaliser.
Right.
Okay. At least we'd have had an extra body.
How bad's Holding? He's out for a while, isn't he?
9 months.
Yeah.
But because he was just coming good.
Yeah.
He was just looking really quite, sort of started thinking, okay.
Mm. You know. He never had one single injury all the time he's been in.
That's a shame.
Really?
Yeah.
They were a dirty bunch, Man United, weren't they?
Yeah.
Were they just trying to kick us off the
fucking park? It was a fluke, wasn't it? He wasn't actually
bad. Yeah, but wait a minute. You had Fellaini pulling
But Holding's injury, he got stuck in the turf.
It was a 50-50 challenge, and his boot went down on the AstroTurf.
It was him tackling.
Yeah, but they're still a dirty bunch of mechs.
Let's forget.
They're dirty. The regardless of the fact that it was all accidental. They're a dirty bunch of mechs.
If you may have been in that semi-final, we'll never forgive them for that.
Is that Chelsea fan who said they're dirty mech fuckers?
Yeah. But I was pretty... To be honest, I was, having said it felt like a couple of points lost, I was still satisfied to carry on. You know, to go away to Old Trafford, a point each. We're the better team now, and you can see that, so that's good.
The last 20 nice minutes, brilliant. They were hanging on the last 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, Aubameyang, you watched that.
We had
that,
two glorious jumps. Yeah.
But he was clear through on goal.
Yeah.
And Mkhitaryan. He just had to go a little bit further wide, aim for the post rather than the keeper.
Yeah.
You know, and Mkhitaryan, the offside there, I mean, that was a nice one. In fact, we put the ball offside in their net a couple of times.
There was one from the left where he just basically got something on it and it went a whisker wide.
Yeah.
As well as the offside. There was two offsides, weren't there?
And there was the little header get out of De Gea's hand,
Lacazette.
Yes,
which you can't do that. Really one of those ones, I'm
and
sure.
was also not given the.
That's
goal.
Only allowed. I think it was in the
Gary Crosby's was given.
Yeah, and they that's changed. Right. Apparently, yeah, yeah. They
changed
the rule.
If the ball's in the air and he's ready to, he's kicked it. The ball's in the air and he's going to kick it. Then you can nick it off.
But if it's in his hand,
you can't do that. George Best did it against Gordon Banks, didn't he?
Yeah,
and he was disallowed quite by.
Oh well.
It wasn't like the old back in primary school days in the 70s with a brown ball, leather ball, where we were allowed to do that sort of thing then. I remember it happened all the time.
Right, jumpers for goalposts. Now,
jumpers for goals.
Pete Mountford on Twitter, old friend Pete. Hello, Pete. As you are doubtless
Pete.
What sort of transfer business might we do in the January window, if any? If so, what are the priorities? The other aspect of this is financial. And Jonathan Houseman, a regular asker of questions on Twitter, he says, will the Cronkies give additional funding in January to push us into a financially lucrative top four spot now they own 100% of the club? Or will the status quo continue? So there are two questions here. Number one, are the purse strings being tightened?
What you've got to ask yourself is, how much money are we going to make if we get in the Champions League?
So basically, speculate to accumulate.
Yeah.
Has that ever been the Cronky model?
We're only going to make 40 million by being in the Champions League, and he has to spend 40 million in January.
Didn't we become a make, do, and mend club?
I don't know about that. What's the make do amend?
Don't spend as much. So don't spend money if you can help it.
Wouldn't maybe possibly be Ozil?
Peter Cech, transfer window.
Wouldn't Ozil possibly be a bargaining tool there with someone? You know, a couple of players for Ozil or something. Might that?
Well,
not
if,
be a
if
way
someone
forward.
Would take his wages off, but then we'll get back to that discussion.
Well, it might be a big club that thinks they could use him. Look, I mean, he's played what? He's played with Real Madrid. He's played with Bayern Munich. Who did he play?
Werder Bremen.
Werder Bremen,
I think.
But he's the sort of team that a big team might say, okay, I don't know, a Barca or a PSG might think possibly that he's someone who might fit into their side.
Could only be Galatasaray or a big Turkish club, I think. I don't think he's going to go. I think he's, the way the intensity all these teams play with now, getting the ball back, that's what it's all about. But I think, for me, my boy's shown me all these, speculate. Where'd you hear that, son? Daily Star online. Yeah, okay. I'd love to not even join in this game with Emery, just thinking, who talked about Torreira, Sampdoria? Nobody. Who talked about Guendouzi coming from the French second division?
Well, if that's the scout.
Well, I hope he's just going to pluck us a couple of guys from Bilbao reserves or someone we never even thought about.
But
we go,
just
who?
Good players,
and suddenly go, hang about, where's he found? That's what I'm really hoping for, the new year. Somebody that nobody's guessed, nobody's
like
speculated.
It's like Pierre and Petit all over again. We'd never heard of them, have we? You know, it's like, I mean, Torreira's, I mean, he's even got the same song, it's great. Yeah.
We'd be very lucky if we turn up two gems like Torreira and Guendouzi again.
Well, but why shouldn't we?
I've got faith.
I mean, that's the reason that we got Mislintat.
But the point being,
they do actually grow on a few trees,
yeah.
And it's who picks them up.
Well, let's say we pick a few miles.
Well, we've obviously got a good scout there, haven't we? A good bottle.
Well, his reputation and his track history are pretty good.
Well, he seems to be doing all right with us. And I suppose what they'll do, look, there'll be meetings had, won't there? I mean, obviously, Emery's going to say, look, I require this, this, and this. What can you, you know, what's out there? And you know, and then there'll be some meetings about what's available financially. And,
What are the priorities?
Well, losing Holding, we seem to be. I mean,
well, because Shelly's coming back.
Well, yeah, but for how long? I mean, how old is he?
This is the question.
Is there, and also, you know, another injury, and he won't be there. You know what I mean?
If we play Cagliari, Monreal, and Lichtsteiner on Sunday, that'll possibly be our oldest ever central defensive pairing or
trio. Yeah.
Yeah, because we want to be 30. Well, they're all 33.
Hang on. I'm going to give you now. 33, 34. Young. Bold and Adams are too young. But in 96, 97, the back three was often Bold, Adams, and Keown.
And they would have been in their 30s.
They would have been.
Well, Adams probably wouldn't have been.
That's nearly 100 years old. 100 years between those three, didn't
I remember Pat Rice hobbling about on the right wing when he could. His legs had gone.
But you're right, they are older. They would be older, so yeah.
And what's happened to Mavropanos as well? I was going to put
He's had
in
an
spine.
Injury since the start of the season.
Groin strain.
Yeah. I mean, he is reputedly on the way back, but nowhere near playing.
No. Anyone know the name of the kid who came on sub in the last Europa away game?
Medley.
Oh, yeah. He was good.
We might see him on Thursday.
And then we had the other kid that played in the last home Europa League game, the 0-0 draw.
Yes, he had a very difficult name, which I'm not even going to attempt because I can't remember it.
Spanish guy.
He
was quite good as well.
They shortened it to something, but anyway, him, yes.
So Mavropanos, Medley, and the Spanish guy, they could come through, you never know.
But I mean, the question was,
what are the priorities?
Well, how much do you make for the Champions League then? 100 million, 200 million, 300 million?
No, well, let's just concentrate on getting into the top four.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the next 6 months.
Yeah.
In January, what do we need positionally to get in the top? Who's weak? What are the weak positions in particular? Right.
Well, also, it's a question of whether Ramsey goes.
I think that's a done deal. I mean, the club are basically not going to give him what he wants.
Which, although I've been one of his harshest critics, I'm feeling a lot of that might be under Wenger.
There's been a change of opinion about Ramsey based, number one, on him squaring up to Eric Dier, I think it was, from the touchline in the North London Derby, and then coming on in the second half and playing a significant part in comeback.
Two or three assists, I think, wasn't it?
So, you know, there's been a complete change, because before that a lot of people were down on Ramsey.
And I think he found him at the end of the game to have a little word as well, which was even better.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. You've got Ozil, who in theory is committed to the club for the next 2.5 seasons. Ramsey, who's off in 6 months. And who are you getting more from in terms of passion and giving a damn?
Ramsey, obviously,
So,
but do we need a wide striker?
I think we need a wide player. We really do. Because if Ozil's not going to play, the Iwobi's not good enough, Mkhitaryan's in and out, brilliant.
But when you say wide, you know, I've got the feeling that
someone who's going to get to the byline.
I think Emery is going to persist with three at the back.
Yeah.
So his wide players are actually his wing backs.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want an orthodox winger.
No.
How many orthodox wingers are there in the game today, apart from Wilfried Zaha?
Well, that Nicolas Pepe is supposed to be an orthodox winger, the one from Lyon, who we're apparently interested in.
Really?
But so is City.
Okay.
Raheem Sterling's an out and out winger.
Is he?
Yeah, he plays down the middle a lot, but he's really a winger.
Mm. And Sane goes down the left wing.
No, but the fullbacks are the width now, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Walker's the wide guy, and Sane, you know, they're playing like they change your own intelligent positions. But I think we're talking about that wider of the front three, the guys who are probably going to do more of the tracking back. Can't think of anyone. I mean, what's with this guy Dembele? Doesn't sound like we need him to go from Barcelona.
He's
down in
out of our price range.
Yeah,
he really is. He's playing for Barcelona now.
Mm. But he's refused to train and turning up late for training. Trying all kinds of tricks to get a move.
Oh, I see. Okay, fair enough. So at the moment, we think maybe a wide attacker.
A wide attacker.
Right. Any other areas? I mean, let's talk about midfield.
Yeah.
Now, Granit Xhaka, obviously suspended last game. But apart from that, he's been a first pick almost for Emery.
I don't think we missed him all that much at Old Trafford, to be honest.
That was the game he missed. Sorry, yeah. I didn't see the Huddersfield game.
Yeah, I don't think we missed him all that much at Old Trafford. He gave the ball away again in a very dangerous area on Saturday.
He does have a tendency to do that.
1-0, 1-0 up. Hanging on for dear life, just approaching injury time. Right. He's on the right, he's wide right.
I think there are better players than Xhaka.
Wide right,
in the world
he passes
that
the ball.
We would want in that place.
He passes
for
the ball.
So when
right,
did, when
right
did we give him
goal?
A renewal? Was it actually in the summer?
Yeah.
We gave him a renewal in the summer. So that's presumably Emery thought, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Emery obviously sees him differently than the fans.
He's all right. I mean, it's the funny thing about Xhaka is he will turn up and he'll have his moments and he'll score like a blinding goal from a free kick, or he'll do this, that.
I think we're not looking at a Galactico team here, aren't we? Not looking for 11 stars. No. We're looking at them players playing, these players doing the graft. Yeah. And with Torreira coming alongside him, I think Xhaka's looked excellent. I understand, but we're talking about one time he nearly gave the ball away. We're not saying he's done this. That's his crime sheet. He nearly gave the ball away.
Yeah.
I personally feel that we could have done with him at Old Trafford. I think it would have been a different result. I think he's playing that well with Torreira as a pair. Yeah.
Well, I think what's nice about the current team is we've returned to a quite kind of Victoria Concordia Crescent Arsenal. Right, all for one and one for all, kind of. Whereas in the past we were looking for. Because you know what? In a way, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like there's no I in team, there's no one player here. This is really like, it's like a George Graham team almost again. It feels like this really is 11 guys pulling together to work for a result, and there's no stars.
Hence Ozil's disappearance.
And in a way, it doesn't matter if it's Shaq or it's whatever, because Emery's going to get the best out of them, and they're all going to fucking do it.
I like their best because. Ozil is the modern day Charlie Nicholas, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
he's the George Graham, but Charlie Nicholas.
I think the formation is a lot more fluid than we give it. I couldn't believe when watching on TV again when Torreira scored the fourth goal against Spurs. Say that again. When Torreira scored the fourth goal against Spurs.
What was that? The fourth goal? The fourth goal. Into the back of the net. Was it the side of the net or the back of the net? Because it was fucking good.
Straight across. After the third one as well, which was also fantastic.
What did you do at that moment? Just while we're on this point.
You hugged Kev.
I have to admit, I watched it on BT Sport on a laptop at home.
You hugged the laptop.
No, I just went fucking leaping around the room, of course.
But he was actually... Eric Dier was left flailing on his arse. Torreira was the furthest forward player of our team. He's meant to be the defensive midfielder. We're 3-2 up with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, we put on Guendouzi at that point.
Right, but
Torreira... So we've taken off one of the attacking players.
But he's still the furthest forward. If Dier had got his foot in, stopped that ball or whatever, or if Lloris had caught it, sent it down the pitch, and Torreira was up there, we'd be having a different conversation here. But it doesn't seem like it's... 3-2 up, shut up the shop. Okay. It's as if we're better going forward, we know that. And that was just, it was just a wonderful moment.
I think Torreira's also now, because he started, he was very, very deep at first. He was like, and he even didn't pick him for a lot of games early on. And now he's just really coming into his own, and he's sort of quite happy to go forward and have a go.
Well, an understanding needs to develop when you bring in a new player.
Well, that is now, that's obviously coming to effect, and so it's exciting.
I think he looks like he wants to score. He hit the post against Bournemouth.
He hit a lot of shots, and he smashed
one over just before he'd scored. Looks like, you've seen me do this, you've seen me do that, but... Yeah. If you want to see the goals again in training, I'm going to show you that.
With Wenger, it was the other way around. It was the player would score a block. I remember Van Malen scoring this blinding goal like in his first game, and then that was it. He never shot again. Because hopefully now it's like the other way around, and we'll get a bit of.
Was that against, Pastor? Yeah, I'll test your knowledge. Who was that against?
Van
Malen goal.
Do you know
Bournemouth? I think it was Bournemouth.
I think it was Bournemouth.
I think you're right.
I didn't think you're right. When Vermaelen was playing for us,
Bournemouth. They weren't even. What is the Premier League?
Someone beginning with B.
Stoke.
Burnley.
I thought it was Everton.
Don't think it was Everton.
Somebody can email in and tell us.
It was early in the season, wasn't it? That September time.
Yeah, and it just went.
So this is Vermaelen's first goal for us.
Yeah.
Maybe his last.
35-yard Thunderbolt.
It was, yeah. Southampton, possibly?
Right, anyway, a bit of self-indulgence here, and it's for your benefit, Mr. Spy, because he's an old mate of yours.
Yeah.
And it's because we've mentioned Torreira. He scored with a very spectacular goal against Huddersfield. And he's emailed This is Steve.
Torreira's email.
No, Steve Roberts.
Oh, right. From
Javier.
Yeah.
Yes, a very close friend of yours.
Hi, Steve.
And he's emailed bicycle kick, scissors kick, overhead kick. For me, it's a bicycle kick. Keep up the good work, lads, and have a great Christmas.
Oh, that's good. Well done. Anyway, same to you.
We're not going to debate whether or not it's a bicycle, scissors, or overhead kick. We just enjoy.
I go scissors, Steve.
Enjoy the goal.
Cheers bar in heaven.
I'll call it
an
overhead kick, actually.
Which is a little bit to differ.
If you're ever in Javier and want to catch the Arsenal game, the bar to go to is
Cheers Bar in the port. Javier Port.
Cheers Bar in the port. Oh, that one around the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
Okay. Familiar territory.
That's all Arsenal Chelsea there. We won, by the way.
So let's
good omen.
Let's have a little. I'm going to do Peter Squire. He's tweeted. Let's get the final listener's contribution out the way. One of the intriguing questions from the Arsene era was whether some average players, for example, Xhaka and Mustafi, would improve under a new coach. Does the panel agree that we are actually seeing the Emery effect? And if so, which player do you think has improved most?
Mustafi's improved a lot, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's been one of the three. He's got the freedom to go for it. When he only had one behind him mopping up, and if that was because Chelney was a bit slow, that didn't look good. I think he's been a big improvement, Mustafi. Yeah. You really do.
And Xhaka has improved. Despite what we're saying about Xhaka, he's improved.
He has improved. He's definitely better than he was last season.
Well, he's captain now as well.
Yeah. I'm going to throw Bellerin into the mix.
Yeah. Bellerin's been my bet noir for years. And even he's definitely improved. Better.
We've all got to have someone to have a go at, haven't we?
Yeah, Bellerin's
been
that guy.
Let's be honest. As somebody who's just fainted at the club, you couldn't believe it. I used to hear the dog's abuse that George Armstrong got going up down the wing. Seriously, you got people, you shot off Geordie Gitch. Honestly, it happened. It's happened. So, but Bellerin was mine, as you say. Whatever friendship.
I blocked him on Twitter. I hated him so much. I blocked Bellerin on Twitter. I couldn't see his ponytail face on there anymore. with his sitting in the sunset, whatever he did.
There was no exchange which gave you a reason to block.
No.
It was just his pure football.
Not football. And I actually, you know how I bump into Arsenal players in Hampstead High Street.
Yes.
And I walked past him, Cafe Nero. I thought, oh, it's better. And I thought, I'm not even going to fucking say hello to him. Because I was so pissed off at him. This is like the beginning of this season. But I'm starting to warm to him.
I wonder
again.
If his form turned around when you blanked him.
That's the thought, yeah.
That's the end of his... his whole life fell apart.
When he started playing better. I've just been blanked by Mustafa Goldstein.
No, he had no idea who I was at all, and why should he? But actually, he started doing things like controlling the ball quite well and doing... He's still his crossing, his final pass is, you know...
It's the throw at the back gives him the... I mean, he used to start when we had a back four. Our fullbacks like that little awful league final against Man City. They started halfway up.
In all fairness, even when we've got a back four under Emery, that is still happening.
Mm.
And the reason it's still happening is because they are operating under instructions.
Torreira's at home. Torreira's sitting back in that back four.
Right.
That's the insurance that's given them that chance to go on. I say we're a long way from being finished product here, but I just get the feeling chatting here, and I hope the people listening, it just seems like a really enjoyable season.
Yeah.
It seems like, and I'm not worried, I don't want to go to Southampton and get a 91st minute and go, hurrah, we've kept that unbeaten run going. I'd like to see how we respond to a defeat. I hope we can start something up again.
Yeah.
Because draws aren't much good for us. But I just get the feeling, I mean, I go back a long way, boys, 72-73, Arsenal didn't win anything. They came second in the league. Lost in the cup semi-final because Spurs won the League Cup. We didn't even get into Europe, finishing second. But to me, it's still one of my favourite seasons, the football we played. Mm. I've got a feeling we've got a season like that now where we're playing, banging in goals, letting them in the back, the crowd team up for it, and it's not perfect. We know it's not perfect, but we're enjoying going over the Arsenal.
Well, it's like Terry texted me the other day, and he goes... He goes, oh, I've got my Arsenal back.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it feels like. It feels like we've got... I think every single player's improved, and they're just improved as a team. And he is, obviously, he's a proper coach, Emery. He's coaching players. He's talking to them. He's finding their weak spots. He's finding their defects, if you like, or shortcomings, and he's working on them.
Well...
Because they are getting better.
He's
Terry Neill actually came on Saturday to the Huddersfield game. Ian Crawford came up.
Yes, well, that's not the listeners well, don't give it.
One thing I was going to say, from my position as a photographer, you know, media whore, Arsenal announcing 59,000 last season when it was clearly 42 or whatever.
I
go and photograph the red empty seats. It's a picture. Do go look. The match is on. Look at all those empty seats. I have to tell the story.
It's not a media whore. That's just reporting the truth.
That's what others call me, but. The only shot I've taken this season at the Emirates of empty red seats was about 5 minutes from the end of the Tottenham section. That's the only space, the only place I've managed to capture.
Are you going on Thursday evening to the Carabao game?
Somebody promised me. I thought I've never paid money to watch a game at the Emirates. I did pay at Highbury, but somebody was talking about getting a box for the Carabao game, and I thought that sounds perfect. The worst game in living memory, potentially.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. See a few empty seats.
Well, yes.
my Christmas day out, that is.
I'm looking forward to that game because it'd be a good opportunity to see the kids. We've already won the group, so the pressure's off.
Yeah.
I think the reason people should go is actually to see what is in store.
Go up the Hope Cafe for a bit of shepherd's pie.
Oh, it could be a good old night.
The original question about the transfer is Reece Nelson got the name right? Is he on a year long?
Apparently doing very well.
Is he on a year long? Yeah. We can't get him back in January.
Well, the other question is can we get Callum Chambers back if we've got this?
Yeah. Can't get him back, apparently. You've already inquired.
Right. Okay.
That was in the papers.
That's
today.
Interesting, though. Nelson coming on like that. You know, looking at. I wouldn't mind if we signed somebody who's saying he's getting on a bit. I wouldn't mind just a stopgap for thinking Nelson come back in, have a real good look in the summer. Mm. If we got a 30 odd year old player to come in and do a job.
Mm-hmm. Is Flamini still available?
He was. who's the Scandinavian? Who's the Swedish guy we got in?
Oh, Kim Karlström.
That's who we want to get back.
Who ironically played under Unai Emery at Spartak Moscow.
That's it, he did.
Yeah. He was about the only person Emery could communicate on the playing side.
I think we signed him from Spartak Moscow, didn't we?
On loan.
Yeah, so maybe Emery was his manager when we signed him.
I think he'd been sacked by that time. He was like August to November or something. Yeah. So he'd gone.
But I think Emery's got to know a lot of players, like, you know, Seville and all. PS. I mean, he's been around and he's obviously quite savvy with what's out there. So I mean, I have every faith in him now. You know, I just feel like it just feels great to feel like you're 100% behind the manager and behind the
team.
Well,
the other thing is obviously he has a coaching team.
Yeah,
and
Wenger.
Well, this is it.
The guy in the shorts.
We obviously most people have seen the transcript of the Chesney Fabianski podcast in which they were discussing Gerry Payton. Mm-hmm. Am I striking a chord here?
I've seen that. Yeah.
It suggested that there wasn't a great deal of quality coaching going on.
Absolutely.
In the backroom team.
I think they get mentioned everyone in there, don't they?
I might make the case that that is a bit of a contrast to the current season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a significant moment when basically all of Arsene's cronies pretty much went in one day.
I was buying some jeans in Enfield on Sunday and Paul Johnson was in the
tell us more.
Now Paul, not a bad bone in his body, but he probably couldn't believe that he was actually out there confiding with Wenger on training sessions. This is when the media were letting the Champions League. We thought, who's, and people come from Juventus, they sorry, you know, caption, who's that guy there?
Yeah,
he looks like the number two to Wenger. And that's really, yeah, Paul must have thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. Who would? If you suddenly landed that job and you were out there with your tracksuit on, putting the cones out for training, I'd take that all day long. You'd wing it as long as you could.
They all put the cones out, didn't they? Vic
no, but he wasn't winging out. But Arsene was fully aware of his abilities.
Yes. But he was obviously no threat to Arsene.
Arsene
states he's going to be working from the 1st of January, presumably in a managerial role.
Yeah.
Is he going to take back his old cronies?
Good question.
Can you imagine?
Can you?
He takes over at AC Milan.
Yeah.
He gets
Neil Banfield in.
Vic Akers.
Is that where it's going? It's always going.
It's just a paper tub.
Neil Banfield, Vic Akers. I want my men with me. Can I bring my team? And I must bring the coat. I have a coat.
But there must be a time when it will kick in and we'll go, we'll think of Wenger and we won't think of the last 5 years. We'll think of 98 It'll take a while. But there will be a day when we think of him as that. But now, just, you know, somebody pulling the curtain open and walking out of the changing room, and it's Paul Johnson. It's suddenly, it's suddenly Wenger's back in town. It was that. It was some reminder.
Did you have a conversation?
No, I didn't. No. I saw him recently in Nottingham. He was at Arsenal getting some tickets. I saw him in the right, Paul. You know, no guy hadn't got a bad bone in his body. He just got into it. You know, who would give up that position? But there was that cronyism, and it was just, it was wrong. And as I say, I think Wenger should have gone after the Forest defeat in January.
Yeah, I do.
Then in February, he should have gone after that appalling League Cup final defeat when everyone walked out, and after an hour, that should have been it.
Should have gone after the 8-2 at Old Trafford as well.
Yeah.
In 2011.
Well, there's argument for the end of a 2008-09 season.
But we've got Dick Emery now. So
we've got Unai, so we're looking forward. And we're looking forward to a League Cup quarter-final against Spurs next midweek.
Which we weren't.
Do we play the strongest team?
No.
It's a quarter-final against Spurs.
Definitely not.
No, let's have it.
What would you say, Bastard?
I'd say, yeah, beat them. Just do what it takes to beat them.
Put out the first 11.
What have we got either side of it?
Burnley at home after it.
Burnley at home and Southampton away before.
And then there's Liverpool at the end of the year as well, isn't there?
Well, that's 10 days.
We've got to go to Brighton before that.
Yeah. Brighton's Boxing Day.
You know what, in Emery I trust. In Unai I trust.
I think Spurs...
I don't even worry about it at all.
The thing about Spurs is they have got... I mean, our problem is injuries, really. But Spurs do have a relatively strong second string.
Is it at their place?
No,
it's at home.
Oh, nice.
Exposed. It's only the League Cup. Leave me alone.
Exactly, it is only the League Cup. Yeah.
I think Spurs will play their second team, but they'll have everyone on the bench. They'll have all the names on the bench.
We could do so. I think. I mean, when they announced the teams for the 4-2, and heard their bench, I thought, oh my god. You know, I didn't feel good about that, but and we put our only two decent players on the bench there, really. Chucked them on at half time. But I think it could be a good little game of poker game, that. What will come out of the press conference is, this is a massive, I respect this competition, I'm going for it. He's played his reserves then. Yeah, whatever happens. And well, it'd be interesting. Can I see your team sheet before you put it in?
What you do is you see who gets off the coach. So then at least you'll know who are the 18.
Right.
And then you'll think, right, okay. And then you work it out from there.
As you say, they have got a very good 18. It's like they played at Leicester with Kane on the bench.
It's hard to know what he'll do.
They very rarely lose, you know, do they? Very rarely
Spurs.
Lose Tottenham, yeah. And they never draw.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I mean, you know, they've been playing at Wembley. In theory, not their home ground. Yeah. They don't seem to be suffering too much.
They lost about 4 games in 2 seasons there.
Now, when they move to a new stadium, okay, it might not be to February now, the way it's going, but, you know, in 2019 at some point. Is that actually going to be a disadvantage, given they've been nomadic for the last... Didn't they play Milton Keynes?
And it's funny they call us the Woolwich Wanderers. And we've only ever had 2 stadiums. They've had about 4 in 2 years.
The thing is, unfortunately, this is without doubt...
Fuck you, Woolwich Wanderers!
This is without doubt the best Tottenham side there's been since... Black and white television.
Yeah,
so you know, and there we're sort of they're head to head with us.
Hang on, yeah, like, no, I think so early 80s.
You've got to give them.
Early
80s. I don't like giving them credit, obviously, but they are a decent squad.
Early 80s, Spurs won things.
Yeah, they had that Gascoigne and Hoddle and Waddle.
That was
shit,
90s.
No. Fucking
early
mullet heads.
80s. Early 80s, they won
the
things
Graham
and
Roberts,
they came close in the league.
Yeah.
They were better. I remember when they were a bit better than us before once. Yeah, but they still, you know, didn't win anything though, did they?
That was funny because it was when they were better than us, we went over there one boxing day at White Hart Lane. Rafael Meade scored 2. We beat them 4-2.
I'd like to
think this was a lot different, this 4-2. It's like our 2-0 last year. It was just a one-off, and then we just fell apart in the new year. I think this year we're a lot stronger, but I think the Spurs' delay is getting all those trophies up, pasted up around. All the recent ones, they kind of run out of paint. That's what my mate said. He works over there.
It's funny though. Just a quick thought on our front two, if you like, Lacazette and Aubameyang. Strangely enough, is that when I see them, I'm still not feeling Ian Wright. I'm still not feeling. you know,
we're like, not playing in right sky football.
No, we're not playing that sort of football. But I saw like Aubameyang against Man U, like he had a couple of chances. And look, they're both great, they're good, yeah. And they score, and they're, you know, top scorers and the whatever, and they're all that. But I still somehow, I think there's more to come out of them. Yeah. I think there's more. There's more to be. I think so. They can still go up a gear. They're still not quite peaking.
It's a bit worrying that he doesn't seem to fancy Lacazette as much as he does Aubameyang. I mean, I think they're similar players, both brilliant players.
I think they're quite different players.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Lacazette gets the ump about not starting in the not too distant future.
Aubameyang's a bit more of an Henri, whereas Lacazette's a bit more of a Malcolm McDonald, in my kind of opinion.
He got a start on Saturday, didn't he? He was hauled off at half time.
Well, I think Emery is now playing a 14-man game regardless. He doesn't care about injuries.
No.
Unless he gets them before he's made his three subs. But I think that Lacazette will become a player who plays a lot of halves.
Yeah.
Either the first or the second.
But is he going to put up with that?
Well, I think as long as we're winning.
Yeah.
I think the whole squad will put up with it because the team is bigger than everyone's ego, with the possible exception of our highest paid player.
Yeah. Could possibly play one of those two against Spurs next week. Yeah. Because they don't always start anyway, do they?
By the way, I don't know if anyone noticed there was that front page of the Sun thing the other day.
It's my final.
Is that coming up?
Final point.
Okay, sorry. I just thought that picture of Lacazette like, out of his head in the nightclub was a bit worrying. But anyway, go on. Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, let's get on to the laughing gas episode. Seven Arsenal players at a private party. It was seven Arsenal players, of which only four definitely indulged in the laughing gas, however bad that may or may not be. What interests me about it, actually, is that there were 70 girls reputedly invited, and I wonder if there's any CCTV footage of what happened.
70 girls?
I never saw the girls.
70 girls and laughing. That sounds like a good night out.
Yeah.
But does it matter?
Kev told me there would be that 70 girls and laughing gas here. It's the only reason I'm hanging around.
Come on, that's why they came. Yeah.
They were in the toilet waiting to come in.
So, does it matter?
No, not to me. You know what's going to happen. They've had this up their sleeve, the papers.
Yeah.
They've obviously waited for Arsenal. They couldn't put it out straight after. They thought they'd get humped over the Spurs. We'll get it out there on the Monday. Oh, they beat them. Okay. They're below Spurs in the league. They're probably thinking,
How long can we have?
It's a bit like Corbyn waiting for Theresa May to lose the vote, isn't it?
In all fairness, laughing gas, not illegal.
Right, well, that's one thing.
It's six bottles of scotch. No.
It's not particularly beneficial for one's health. But
it was before the season started.
Wasn't during the season,
wasn't it?
Yes.
It was before the season started.
Do we care?
No.
If it's before the season and they're just having like one last kind of night out, then you know.
That's what. Because that great story where Ray Parlour tells it, where Wenger said, "You've had a brilliant, trained so well pre season, go and do what you want to do.
Have a night out, yeah."
And out they went, and I think one of the French lads went along with them. They walked in a pub, five of them, usual job, 35 pints of lager. This guy said, "Who else came?" And that was seven each. They put those seven down and went on. And they said, "We walked past the cafe where the French guys were, and they're all on their gitane with the coffees, black coffees. We're going." And they said, "We went out and won the double that season." So, bodes well. No, I mean,
But they're young men in their 20s, about to embark on a regime of none of that. Work.
Yeah.
Physical work. So you have your party. You know what I mean? So they had a party. And the CCTV, I mean, whoever the club owner is, or whoever it was,
well,
the CCTV,
what a toe rag. It can only be a disgruntled ex-employee.
Well, what a toe
rag. Because the owner of the club isn't going to destroy his own business.
A Tottenham fan, maybe?
It's supposed to be a private club.
No, but the point being, the owner would want people like that to come back, or anyone to come back to it, hire the private room. So it can only have been a disgruntled.
Well, it might not have been disgruntled, it might have been opportunistic, I don't care, and I can get X grand off the Sun. Front page of the Sun, what do they pay for that?
It's only a job. Yeah.
But Ranieri came in, and everyone said, "Oh, he's done wonders." The season he won the league with Leicester, he said, "No pizza, none of this. And somebody put his arm around him, and I think Robert Hood said, "That's not going to work here. It's not the way to do it, huh? Let them do what they want. All right, forget all that." And they went and won the league. Could they just had a happy squad?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
What did happen to Man City that season? What on earth happened to Man City?
Well, Pellegrini was manager, and basically there comes a point where it doesn't matter how much you pay players,
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get the returns every time.
Amazing.
And that's the hope under Guardiola.
Well, when you look at this season, where we're struggling to finish fourth and we're unbeaten in 21 games, and we've got a huge points total compared to previous seasons.
It's not actually that much more than last season. You know?
But we've had all those away wins and it's better.
Yeah.
And then you look, Man United 8 points behind us, thank God. Mm. But Spurs and Chelsea winning every week, Liverpool winning every week, City winning every week. How on earth did they go a whole season where none of them ever won?
Mm. Well, it was a chance for us, wasn't it? And it was Arsenal's worst crime.
Was this Leicester?
How many points did they win it by?
10.
Yeah.
I think back to this, the balloon, the laughing gas. I think the fact that, and I don't mind calling it a shit rag for some, right? It's got that on its front page and it's trying to cause a whole kind of scandal. And all that. And you know what? Actually, no one seems to give a shit. I didn't see it on TV news. No. I didn't see it anywhere. So it's like, it's just, they've wasted a front page there, haven't they, really?
I think everyone realises it's just juvenile.
Yeah.
Not what the players did.
Listen, if it was like 3 days before playing Tottenham, but off season, then you know what? Look, it's like my band. It's like if somebody wants to go and do whatever they do, as long as they don't do it during rehearsal or during what, you know, then that's fine. You know, they go and do what they do. But
unless they did it, we lost those first two games, and then you come down on.
Oh shit! That's a point. We did lose those first two games.
I don't think that was anything to do with that, though. I'm pretty sure that was all to do with tactics.
We do give a shit. It made us lose those two games.
I'm going to phone my NA sponsor.
And against Chelsea, to be fair, we could have been 6-2 up at half time, couldn't we?
Yes, I don't think
the laughing gas was responsible for
it. I don't think it was.
Iwobi and the Aubameyang ballooning sitters over the bar.
Said the laughing no.
Yeah. All right, on that note, we are going to finish for today's edition with the usual plug for the raison d'etre of this here podcast. This season's third edition of the Gooner is currently on sale and will remain so until the next one comes out for the home match against Burnley on the 22nd December. That will also include our traditional calendar. Issues can be bought online through our shop section of the website, onlinegooner.com, where you can also subscribe. As usual, a reminder that you can contact us regarding anything to do with the podcast via Twitter at GoonerPodcast and email GoonerPodcast@gmail.com. Many thanks for the questions and topics submitted for today. Not as many as normal, but it is Christmas party season, so I guess people have got other things to do than be on Twitter. With that, it is goodbye from Mustafi.
Mustafi?
Mustafa.
Oh, I'll be Mustafi.
Sorry.
Guten Abend, Mustafi here.
Freudian slip there because of your height.
I'll be a centre-back for the Arsenal, I'll do that.
Goodbye from Steve.
Can we tell the listeners what's in the calendar next year? Do we know?
Well, the plan at the moment is the theme is looking forward.
Right.
And it is looking at the players we can expect to see great things from in 2019.
Fantastic. I wonder who suggested that.
That might have been you, Steve.
Yeah.
The Highbury spy.
In the pub, where all the best ideas seem to come from. And finally, it's farewell from Mark.
Good night, everybody.
With that, we will be back with another podcast in January. Until then, this is your host, Kevin Witcher, saying goodbye and thank you for listening.
And Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to all our listeners. And on that note,
he's always wanted to say that, hasn't he?
Yeah. We'll go out in the normal fashion. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Way!